This episode of the Gospel Coalition podcast is sponsored by Midwestern Seminary in Kansas City, Missouri. Midwestern's 81-hour residential Master of Divinity degree offers a complete foundation for a lifetime of fruitful ministry. For more information, visit mbts.edu/mdiv. This is the Gospel Coalition podcast, where we seek to renew the contemporary church in the ancient gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm your host, Colin Hansen. Today's podcast is a roundtable discussion with Brian Chappell, David Helm, and Mike Bullmore on how to identify future leaders and preachers in your church.
I'm Brian Chappell, president of Covenant Seminary, and I'm here with Mike Bullmore and David Helm, and we're talking today about identifying and training and giving opportunities to young preachers. And we each have kind of a different role in how the Lord has called us into those operations. So, David, how do you, let's begin with, how do you identify young preachers and what role do you have in doing that? You serve a couple of different interests.
Yeah, I think local pastor, the church, as well as a parachurch organization we run, Simeon Trust, where we're trying to equip people to handle God's word. I think the interesting thing on identifying them, of course, it comes out of local church ministry. The Bible is more descriptive than prescriptive. You can go back and look at Moses and Joshua and build a case for how he identified him. You can look at Paul and Timothy, perfect skill set for Timothy, even the Jew-Gentile familial background. Or later on, he's got a group of traveling guys that almost look like they've been geographically chosen. But prescriptively, you know, it's the Bible's not real strong on it. They need to be faithful and competent men. And I think that's the verse, 2 Timothy 2:2, that it's not just faithful guys hanging around your church. You're trying to identify people who have a certain sense of competency. Right. And that competency is a word competency. And so we're always looking for those kind of guys. We call them carnivores.
Does Simeon Trust deal with guys coming into pastoral roles, or are you trying to identify guys prior to their actually being preachers?
The Simeon Trust does two things. We offer ongoing help to guys who are already doing pastoral work and how to handle God's word. But we're also throwing money at, we think, are promising young guys to help them at a stipend level, be connected to a local church, get their seminary training. So we're really engaged on both fronts.
And now, Michael, you've been a seminary professor. You're a pastor now. How are you identifying potential preachers in your present role?
In fact, that has been just a wonderful transition to experience being in the seminary, where there's already been an identification process prior to them coming to you. How reliable that identification process is another question, but they're either self-identified or some other body has identified, we think you should go to seminary. And now to be in this place in the local church where you get to be, as it were, in the front end or nearer the front end of helping a guy discern whether or not there is some calling. I recognize that's a challenging word for us to talk about, but that there is some claim of God on his life for pastoral ministry and for the ministry of the word. And so I am loving this new opportunity inside the local church. I think that's the right place to be paying attention with the confidence that God has in fact ordained a succession of men to carry on gospel ministry. And now our job is to pay attention and to be looking for particular things, the kinds of things that David has talked about.
Now, Mike, when you said things about self-identifying, I'm now from a seminary role where we have students coming forward, very much identifying with those words. Now, we all know this. We expect there to be kind of a mutual process of identifying preachers. We hope the church has a role. That the pastor, the session, the elders, the leadership, there's a community of people who are saying, we think you're gifted. So that the person is not just saying, I've decided. Now, on the other hand, we do expect somebody saying, I do sense that God has gifted me in this way, and I have desires for leadership. I mean, the Bible tells us that those who desire to be in leadership roles, they desire a good thing. Is there anything else? David said, Scripture helps identify. Where the Scripture qualifications, what's the heart leading, and what's the community affirming? Intersect am I missing as I say those three things? Are there other things that help identify young preachers?
Well, I think the local context. So We're not necessarily trying to do calling according to three different subjective and objective and ecclesial calling. We're trying to train everyone in our church for gospel ministry. Mm. What we find is that there are certain guys that are worth watching. Mm. In other words, their competency in the word is higher than others. Mm. Their character is strong, as it should be in everyone. But it's the competency in word, whether we've put them over kids teaching Sunday school,
right,
or whether
right.
they have an appetite to work in youth ministry. Those are the guys you begin to see. We look for yeah. those guys when they're juniors and seniors in college.
Excellent.
Yeah. And, you know, we yeah. want carnivores, not vegetarians.
Right.
We do not want pastors who are not, who are just kind and nice and could pass out the bulletin.
Right.
We want meat-eating, word-hungry guys
right.
who can deliver God's word right. and lead God's people. You have to
I'll
be
have
a leader.
To look for that person.
Right.
Meat-eating. No.
yeah.
Mike,
and in fact,
as you identify folks within the church that you yeah. say, you know, this man seems to be gifted
right.
for pastoral ministry, for preaching.
Right.
Do you ever identify someone and he says, you know, well, that's great. You say, great, I'd love you to start by working with the sixth graders.
Mm-hmm.
And the person kind of go,
not what I had in mind.
Not what I had. I mean, for yeah. somebody who says, that's not exactly what I had in mind,
right.
what is that giving you as indicators?
Yeah, well, it is indicating something about pastoral character, which obviously is a big part of the equation. And we're not expecting everyone to be here right away. So there's an opportunity right there to talk about another essential ingredient in the faithful ministry of the word, the heart, the character of the man. But one of the categories that David's introduced here is this very useful ministry of the word as opposed to just preaching, which usually,
right.
you know, we think of Sunday morning behind the pulpit, all the people gathered. And there is ministry of the word, whether it's teaching a sixth grade Sunday school class or administering the word personally to someone, where you can begin to see if a guy loves the word, trusts the word, has a particular ability with the word, a knowledge of the word. And so I'm actually going to up you one, and instead of junior, what did you say, junior in college?
Junior, yeah.
One of the things I've noticed now is I'm starting to look at junior hires,
yeah.
and not so much their ability in the word yet, we'll look for that later, but their responsiveness to the word.
All right.
So here now a young man comes up after a sermon and asks you questions. All of a sudden I'm looking at that guy and thinking, Lord, is there something here that we need to watch and nurture?
All right. I'm going to press you both because I know we have to come close to ending this segment.
Yeah.
You know, there's this historic debate that when Paul is giving the qualifications of pastors and preachers, is it a high quality list or is it a low quality list?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he doesn't say you have to swim the seven seas and
right.
climb the biggest. He says, you know, manage your household well.
Right, right.
So when you're looking for that carnivore eating, hungry for
yeah.
the word, able to dispense the word, competent, called, and so forth, would you have said Timothy qualified?
Mm-hmm.
Timid Timothy? Scared?
Right.
So nervous right. that his stomach is troubled?
Right.
Are you saying that everybody has to kind of demonstrate in mm-hmm. ideal form?
Mm-hmm.
I know you're going to say not ideal, but
right.
how do you deal with the person who says,
right.
I think I'm called,
right.
but I struggle with some of these things
right.
you guys are talking about?
Right.
David, how do you help that guy?
Well, all right, let's make a distinction. By aggressive carnivore people, we should be making your job easier as a seminary president because you're seeing far too many people who, in your mind, you already know they do not have the capacity to lead, and yet they're telling me they're called for ministry. The church should be funneling that stuff out. Timothy, great example. Was Timothy really cowardly, or was he just having to realize that as Paul was stepping off the stage, he was going to have to step on the stage at a different level? And what he needed to be reminded of is to not be ashamed of what was coming his way, and to guard the deposit that had been given to him so that he would, in fact, be the leader of all the leaders. I think that's probably a more apt depiction of Timothy than to think of this cowardly one who
right.
isn't capable of moving forward.
Right.
Mike, as you're identifying people who have an aptitude for ministry
right.
and preaching, do you expect to see them fully formed before you recommend them all for more training?
No, in fact, before we recommend them for more training,
yes,
not fully formed. I mean,
yeah.
this is the transition from identification to the
yeah.
training process.
Right.
And so both in the house of the local church and then at appropriate points, a more formal theological education in a variety of forms,
okay.
I think is necessary. But there are certain measures that you want them to hit. There is a certain, for lack of a better word, kind of milestone that you want them to hit before you're ready to say, okay, let's take this to the next step. And some of that, I mean, this is what's so interesting about pastoral ministry. It's endlessly interesting. there's not formulas here. It's the exercise of wisdom in the particular moment, asking God to give you discernment with reference to this guy. But there are objective things that you're looking for.
So we're expecting people not to be fully formed. They do need to exhibit the essence of those pastoral preaching qualifications, and yet we know there's training ahead.
You've been listening to the Gospel Coalition podcast. For more gospel-centered resources, visit thegospelcoalition.org.